is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. One bad decision can alter your life irrevocably, as the women on today's program can testify. Listen to Teresa and Violet, not their real names, interviewed in the summer of 2005, discuss how they landed in a Brazilian jail for drug trafficking. Teresa is South African and had come to Brazil to have her baby. She was scouting out apartments, looking to settle down, and while doing this, she was staying in a hotel and eating in a local restaurant, where she met a man who told her he had a brother going to university in Johannesburg, South Africa. She had no intention of returning to South Africa anytime soon, until an emergency phone call from home reveals the couple caring for her two older daughters was in a car accident. The friend from the restaurant convinced her to carry a bag of what he told her was books for his brother. She agreed, and her life was changed forever. The bag was carrying cocaine, not books, and the subsequent arrest throws her into labor with a tragic ending. Here is Teresa's story.
Actually came here mid-November 2003, but I got arrested in airport on December. On the 4th of December, I got arrested, and I was pregnant. So about 36 weeks, I was about 2 weeks to give birth, I can say. So I felt sick in the federal custody. That's when they took me to hospital. When I get to hospital, they examine the baby's heart, if the baby's heart is okay. They told me that the baby's heart is good, no problem. Within 5 minutes, they went to talk to the police that I was with. So they came back, after talking to the police, came back to me and said, no, we have to check your baby's heart again. So I said, well, you just told me that the baby's heart is okay. I said, no, there's something, blah, 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 we have to confirm again, you know. So well, they did it. After they did it, they said, no, the baby's heart is not good, look at this, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, they told me that I'm going for cesarean. And I said, no, why can't these people give me time? Because I was still 2 centimeters that time. And they said, no, we're going to give you cesarean to save you and your baby because of difficulties. I said, what difficulties? So, I don't want cesarean. I don't want to do this. I said, no, I was begging, felt crying. They took me for sauna. Okay, I want to see my baby. Then they came, they said, no, your baby is not fine. I said, what is wrong? They said to me, no, he's got a heart problem, you see. But I want to go and see him. You know, this is the second day now I gave birth without seeing my baby, understand? Okay, they said, no, we are coming, we'll take you there. They didn't on the 7th, 8th, they didn't. On the 9th, they took me there. I found him, he was sleeping. Tried to talk to him, sleeping, playing with him. But he was with feeding pipes and the oxygen. That time on the 9th. So I left him, I went back to sleep. I felt good that I see my baby, understand? I felt good. Now the next day on the 10th, they told me that I'm getting discharged. I'll be discharged back to the custody. While I was preparing my baby's clothes, they told me, no, you are not going with the baby because the baby is not fine yet. Immediately it's fine. We'll let you know. We will call where you are. If the baby's fine, can come fetch the baby and we'll let you know. Okay, no problem. And that's okay. I cannot go back without seeing him. They refused. I cried. I said, I can't leave the hospital. It's okay. They took me, the two policemen took me there up to the baby. I found him sleeping. But now he was not with oxygen when I arrived. Remember yesterday he was on oxygen. But now today on the 10th he's not on oxygen. So that thing gave me a hope that my baby is okay, understand? Now he can manage by himself without breathing with oxygen, understand? But what he had on, he had feeding pipes only on his mouth, you know? So as I was trying to talk to him, he woke up, opened his beautiful eyes and look at me. So I was talking to him, but it was time for the police to take me to, because I was already discharged in hospital. See? Then I left him with the hope that my baby is fine. Within 10 minutes I was in federal. This policeman came say we are sorry. Sorry for the baby's dead. So do you mean we are driving from hospital while I left the baby there in hospital looking healthy? They said he's dead. But for them to bring a paper for me to sign that this is the document shows that your baby is dead. Up until today, I never signed nothing. They told me that it's busy, under the process, blah, blah, blah. They will let me know everything, what they're doing. To go and bury the baby, they'll come and fetch me. Up until today, I never signed no paper. I never see his dead body. I never see his grave. I don't know where they put him. I don't know why they do this to me. My daughter, my son, was not an unknown baby. I was here, I was not dead. But they took him away from me. They steal him away from me. If you as a mother, can you really say, yes, my baby's dead if you see such things? If you didn't see your baby's body? I'm a mother who doesn't know where the baby is. Even if I finish this my prison here, I'll go to my country. I still have that pain that I left my baby in hospital. I will never say that he's dead because I never see his body. I will never say that he's dead because I never see his body. I never seen nothing. This is what these people did to me. I don't mind to be in prison for what they caught me for, that I was guilty. But I will finish here. Where is my baby? What am I going to do with this? Where is my baby? Why these people, they don't treat me like this? I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I don't know.
Producer Eleanor Ostrinsky traveled to Sao Paulo, Brazil in the summer of 2005 to conduct this interview. Today, the fate of Teresa's baby is still unknown. The prison pastoral has found a government official who is willing to help retrieve the baby's hospital records. Teresa has written her version, and now the prison pastoral team is translating them. There is hope the hospital's records will clear up the questions surrounding the disappearance of Teresa's son. If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we're talking next with Violet, a Filipino convicted of drug trafficking in Brazil. Violet has 5 children living in the Philippines, 3 girls and 2 boys. She's not seen any of them in over 4 years. Being poor and caught on the wrong side of the law is a bad place to be, and Violet learned this the hard way. She agreed to become a drug mule because she was scared of the future. She was a single mom and had 5 bright kids who wanted to go to university. She tried legal methods of making more money, but they didn't work out. And when offered money to travel and see Brazil, a prospect she had never dreamed of before, she took it. Producer Kathy Golden talks with Violet in the Women's Penitentiary of Sao Paulo, Brazil, as she explains this was her first brush with drugs.
Because I'm financially tight, and because I'm a single mom, and I have 5 children, my eldest is going to college, so I was just a bit upset of what's going to happen in the near future if my children will not study. So I want them to finish their studies, so I went to Thailand first to work as a tutor, English, you know, teaching. But when I arrived in Thailand, the vacancy for teaching is already finished, so I don't have more money to spend in Thailand. So a person approached me in Thailand that, hey, you want to travel? And then I said, travel? What? Where? I said, well, to Sao Paulo. And then I said, where is that? So when I learned that it's in Brazil, so but then I said, yes, $4,000 they're going to pay me. So I think it's going to be very perfect for my family, you know. Because like what I've told you, I'm separated and the breadwinner of the family.
Right. So what happens?
Everything were fixed, you know. And they treat you like a queen, you know. You're in a hotel, they paid it. And the food, they gave you allowances, you know. At that time, I said, yeah, this is going to be a right decision for me because I'm going to send money and I can send my children to college studies. That's all I wanted. God knows about it, but Because I am really a God-fearing person. I raised my children to have that kind of faith, and up until now, they still hold on with that faith. It's only me who lack of faith with God. Yeah, let's put it like that. That's why I decided to do this. And now I'm here.
What has this been like for you?
Oh, this is hell, no? Really. Every day when I wake up, I wish, I even dream about my family, my children calling me or whatever. And what can I do? I just cry. I'll be 3 years in October.
3 years in October?
3 years.
Yeah. 3 years.
I'm already sentenced 4 years.
So and a judge did sentence you?
Yeah.
4 years.
4 years.
I mean, conceivably, you could get out sometime soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but now I'm praying to God every minute, every time. Because I want to go home. I miss my family, my children especially. When I left them, they were still a kid. But now they're taller than me, can you imagine?
Have you been able to talk to them at all? Like even once on the phone or?
Over the phone, it's prohibited here to use the phone. So, yeah, in a letter.
In a letter.
In a letter. Yeah. In.
So everything will be okay once you get out of here?
Yeah, back home, well, I don't know what's in store for me, but being 41 years old, I don't know what I'm going to do anymore or to start with. I don't have anything to start with. I'm totally poor. I don't have anything. I'll be starting from scratch, and I don't know. But what is important now is to be with my family.
Good news! We learned during the production of this program that Violet has been released. She is currently in a shelter waiting for the Sao Paulo Police Department to pay for her plane ticket home. When drug traffickers are first arrested, the police confiscate their plane tickets, so it is their responsibility to replace them. The prison pastoral will call the police every day until Violet has her ticket home. Could you be talked into a similar act if it meant putting food on the table for your children? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Karen, Teresa, Violet, and Mary Knoll lay missioner Heidi Cerneka are just some of the voices of our world. I'm your host and producer for this week's show, Eileen Bott. You heard music today by Putumayo. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.